God has something to tell us this morning. You ready to hear?
Yes.
Genesis chapter 6. Turning to Genesis chapter 6, let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for you. We thank you for this time of recognizing, Lord. We pour contempt on our pride. That's hard to do. I pray, Father, right now, as you speak to us, continue to mold us and make us in your image. Father, speak to us this morning. Open our hearts and our minds. Remove all this stuff. Distractions, the mess. And we seek you now. In Jesus' precious name, and everyone said, Amen. All right. Looking at Genesis 6, I'm going to read verse 1 through 3. Now, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves, all of them whom those they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. You know, as we go through Genesis, we start a few weeks ago, chapter 1. Miracle of God. God created everything. And how quickly it went from miracle to mess. Just in a couple chapters. Right? And then, but again, always understand this as we're seeking and worshiping God and understanding His Word. God has a plan. He has always a plan to restore, to get us back to where He wants us to be. But it's interesting that, again, it doesn't take long for the mess. Now, if I were, you ever put on Yelp for reviews for certain places and things, restaurants, or read Google reviews? I'm going to ask you a question. If you were to rate the world, give it a review, how many stars, zero being like hell on earth, right? And five being just devil. Okay? You have your own line in. Fingers, whatever you feel like. I give it about a 1.5, right? Maybe a 2. I'm generous. It's a crazy world. I mean, it's a mess. And, you know, as we see in Revelation 1.5, how everything God had done was so good. And now, as we're seeing here, as we're reading in Genesis chapter 6, it's down to a zero. Get back. Not bad. So bad. God's going to do something. And we all know. Anybody here not heard of Noah? Right? Yes, you have. Noah, you are. We're getting into that. God has had enough. God will not strive. His spirit will not strive with man forever. As we look at this message this morning, a man and a mess. Noah. Noah's a man. And his name, by the way, just to give you a little background on Noah, his name means rest. And he's a type of, in a way, as I look at this and as we exegetically pull things out of here, he's a type of Christ. Because we're to rest in Christ. That's who he is. What he's done for us. And Noah is kind of a representation, a symbol. And we saw in the past how God created Adam and Eve. Adam had sin, of course. Taken out, God provided their covering. They accepted that, their covering, for their shame and guilt. Had, just a little background, they had a couple of sons. Remember them? Cain and Abel. Cain didn't trust the Lord, killed his brother Abel, who had a heart for God, who was number one on the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. So then you have this line of Cain, as we saw last time, but there's going to be a new line. A new line from another son that Eve is going to have. And we saw his name in back in chapter 4, verse 25. She had another son named Seth. And then it says in verse 26, then, on this line, this familiar, the family ancestry, that men began to call on the name of the Lord. So we got a good line going. Things are going so good. We have a godly family line, then you have Cain's line that is basically following Satan, the way of the Lord. So that just brings us back to our a little background here. Yep. But God's plan is always to redeem, always to bring us back to that perfect place that He has for us, as we saw in Revelation. To call on the name of the Lord. It takes humility. It takes pouring contempt on our pride to call on the name of the Lord. Because there's trouble in life. And sometimes that does a couple things. The trouble in life can do two things. If we have, as we're living in, I would call it something. Weariness. If you give someone a restaurant a 2 on a review, would you go to that restaurant? Probably not. We're in there. Right? And here's what happens in trouble when things happen. It's like the sun. The sun does two things. It'll take butter, and what does it do to butter? It melts. And that's what trouble can do with us. It can melt our heart. To turn to God. To turn to Him. To trust Him. Or, what if the sun, you know, after all this wonderful rain, you have mud. What happens to the mud? It can turn to God. And that's what happens to others, to people. It may happen to you. Stop here. And you get bitter. You get hard. And see, this is what happens. As we continue to trust the Lord, it will soften our hearts. But we see here with this line of theft, this godly line. In chapter 5, I'm not going to go through it, you can read it on your own, but we see this godly line goes all the way to Noah. Verse 28, Lamech lived 100, this is verse 28 of chapter 5. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah. Rest, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our works, the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. God always wants to provide rest. He always wants us to come to Him and trust in Him and believe in Him. Then we get to our passage, verse 1 of chapter 6, it says, now it happened. It came to pass. Now it came to pass. It happened. We have the two lines. The line of Cain, the ungodly line, following Satan, and you have the godly line of faith, upset. But what happens? What happens here? When men began to multiply, both lines, after hundreds of years, on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and He took wives for Himself and all whom they chose. Now, if you've never studied this before, or read this, there's a couple of interpretations. It's difficult. This is a difficult passage. Because something happens here. These two lines, the line of Cain and the line of Seth, the godly line, you see what's happened? They're crossed. They've intersected. There's common. There's this mixing. And God is not happy. Now, to give you one view of this, look at one view. This is what happened. You see that? See where it says giant? Look at verse 4. Go down to verse 4. There were giants on the earth in those days. Now some make this interpretation. The word in Hebrew is Nephil, or we get the word giant, Nephilim. That from what happened was that the sons of God that it talks about there in verse 2, the sons of God were referred to as angels, demonic angels. They came down to earth and saw these beautiful women and basically had giant babies, demonic weird babies. That's one view. I don't take that view, just for the truth. Alright? Because it doesn't make sense to me, exegetically, as we study scripture. It doesn't. But I just want you to know that view is out there. Because the reason that's taken is we read in Job, speaks of the sons of God as angels appearing before in the presence of God. But see, this is a different interpretation. This is my view This is how I see it. And I'm not dogmatic, but it fits for me very, very well. Because we see the word, verse 4, the word, and it says, there were giants on the earth in those days, then there was the word, and also after. Speaking of after the giants. Because this is what it seems clear to me. The sons of God were Seth, godly line of Seth, that family line that came from Seth. The good one. Alright? And then there's all these beautiful women, the sons of Cain, right? Coming along that family line. And it doesn't take long to go, those are really good looking girls over there. I think I may want to take one out. And this rest is tempted, so to speak. So you have this compromise. You have this mixture. And there's an enticement from these lines, from these beautiful women. And understand this about Satan. This is the line of Satan. This is basically the line for fallen Satan. Following the ways of the world. Satan does not entice with evil, ugly, evil stuff. He entices with evil. And it's one of those things where we have to be careful because Satan speaks up, of course, in 2 Corinthians, disguises himself as what? An angel of light. It's attractive. And see, I see this happening easily. Because the world is attractive. And things of the world are attractive. And there's things out there that seem to kind of want to pull us in. And that's what happens to this line of Seth. It didn't take long. Their flesh is a feeling and it wants to feel good, right? So what doesn't Ephesians 6 words to watch out? Put on the armor of God because what? The wiles of the devil. The wiles are his scheme. This is his scheme. We put on the armor to stand against it. But it's so easy to let the shield of faith down. And just go with the. And again, appears to be what happens. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, so you've got to be careful. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And again, understand this about the mess as it becomes compromised, as the lions become compromised, is this. Ever heard this? Bad character corrupts good. Okay, it's in the Bible. Paul speaks of Corinthians specifically. Corruption of values and beliefs are so easy to happen because that character will be that common denominator and will start dragging things down. You see that in the Bible over and over and over. It's a cycle. You ever hear that term? My parents used to tell me, you're going to become what your friends are. It's true. It's easy to happen. It's happening today. Things consider what's called an abomination to God. God hates stuff like this that's going on. But see what happens is people become completely, as you look at this, what's happening with these people that we're speaking of here, that God's Spirit is now what? No longer striving with him with the Spirit. Why? Because people have become completely detached from God by their Spirit. God created us in his image. In his image, he's given us a consciousness, a spirit. When things become so morally decayed and degraded, and the Spirit no longer wants to connect with God's Spirit, and it becomes numb, it becomes covered. But it's so crusted, and the people's hearts are so crusted in sin. It's going to deny his love and his grace, all that he has. It's what's called the unpardonable sin. When the Spirit is no longer receiving the wooing of the Holy Spirit. See, the word strive in verse 3 means to contend and quarrel. That's what happens to the Spirit. When they get so hard. And the Holy Spirit is right now with everything. And he's wooing everything because of his love and his grace. But there comes a time when it's so hard There's no sense of consciousness of guilt, no consciousness of God. And it starts to help you understand why, what's going on in even our mess. Because you see, well, how can anyone do that? How can somebody, did you hear a thousand of high school just 2 days ago? 16-year-old boy just got his driver's license. He has a basketball game at Thousand Oaks High School. And they caught that he was going by the concession stand and I guess started stealing some food or whatever. They caught him and he ran to his car. One of the women that works in the school, volunteering at the concession stand, stood in front of his car. The boy deliberately ran to him and drove home. What happened? What happened? No sense of guilt or consciousness? It's not a video game. She's in critical condition, now in the hospital. It's just that, what is going on type of thing. It's like, whoa. We've become like animals. Just living by instinct. By feeling. By feeling. I feel like going home. Get out of nowhere. I mean, come on. Some of us have felt that. You know, when you're traffic. But this is devil. I mean, it's like awful. Lord says, it's enough. In fact, turn to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Romans chapter 8. Looking at verse 5. Romans 8, 5, I'm going to read to you, if you follow on. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, carnally is that's another word for flesh, is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, it's an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. That's why we see things happening today. They're getting worse and worse. So then, verse 8, then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Lord says, enough, got 120 years before he's going to judge and finally wipe out all humanity. Except for when he's done. Suicide rate today is up 33% in the last 20 years. Since 1999, 33%. Talking to a man last week that kids are coming back from his kids coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq towards the Union. His son's friends are committing their suicide 22 a day. They come back from the war in the last 15 years are committing suicide. Why? There is no hope. The world says there's no hope. The world says there's nothing for them. But we know God has the answer. He's the only one. There's pain in life. And it's hard, but God has the answer. But here, as people turn their hearts to God against them, their spirit, against his spirit, it says he will not strive with them. There are laws today that have been passed recently that allow termination of pregnancies and babies up to we're trying that spirit. The New York law just passed called the Reproductive Health Act to remove any restrictions on aborting a pregnancy up to full term, with exceptions. But the way it's written, it's so broad that it covers basically any possible late term abortion, and it leaves, why? Because it leaves to discretion of the patient. It leaves to the discretion of the patient. Who's the patient? Craziness. God calls it wicked. How can this not be upsetting to God? God loves little helpless babies. I can cry for what's going on, right? Jesus made it real clear. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. God is not going to let this go on. Look at chapter 6, verse 5 again. It says, then the Lord saw. Going back up here. Verse 4. There were giants on the earth in those days. You know, there are giants in Stone. We know, speaking of, we know they're pretty well wiped out with flood, so we'll just leave it at that. And also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children together. Those were the mighty men who were bold and renowned. These were famous warriors that came out of these families. And verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It can't get any more comprehensive. It's every intent, it is all. Everything has gotten so bad. God has had it. He's had enough. See, God is an emotional God. That's what it says in verse 6. And the Lord was what? Son. And he made man on the earth. And he was great and famous. God gave us emotions because we're made in his likeness, his image. Yes, emotions of sadness, sorrow. The word here actually literally means, here's what the word means. It literally means stabbing pain and torture. That's how God feels about what's going on. It's torture to him. So sorry. He's so sorry. It's time to fix it. Time to fix this whole mess as we see here in the world. So the Lord says, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made him. Now, what I love about God's word is this would be a really short book if it stopped there, right? The Bible, it doesn't stop there. This is what's so amazing, so good about God. It's so awesome. Because it says this, but, I love that one, but, didn't stop there. But, contrast. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This man, in the line of death, is going to take from his familial line down to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this one man found grace. Only one man in all the world with his family in this big mess. And this is what makes him so special. Why? Because of this. He was listening to me. He was willing to look to the Lord. So look into the Lord's eyes. So look up and see his love and see his grace. His gentle, loving eyes. God's grace is always there. God's grace is always there pouring out on you. He's always there. You know what God's grace is? G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ. That's the love. That's his grace. That's his love. That Jesus Christ came to die for us. Yet while you're sinners. Noah was a sinner. So what's so special about him? Look at verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Describe those three ways. What does it mean by just? It means he was lawful and righteous. What makes us righteous? Our faith. Only your faith. By grace through faith. How's your faith? right with God. It's that faith that speaks of Noah, actually, again, another one of those hall of faith that we have here in Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. That's why you're in this morning. I love the fact that it says that it moves him. It says in Hebrews, it moves. He was moved with godly fear. Is this moving you at all, Lee? He's moving you with any sense in your heart? Do you realize that you are co-heirs with Christ? By what Christ has done for us? We're saved by, again, by works. Not by works, but by faith. The just shall live by faith. The second thing he says, he's perfect. He's complete. He's whole. Nothing's lacking in who he is before God. And that's what God does for us. He creates us a new image. We're a new creation. We're all complete. All those things missing in our life, those things that we fear, as even as Belinda was sharing earlier about during the announcement, that God is our shepherd. He provides all. He is completing us. Perfect. We're now righteous. He gives us righteousness. Now we can go and be before God. Only then can we come before Him. See, Noah, understand this, is the first person ever described as being saved. And then the only thing next, third way, is that you can walk with God. This is the only way we can walk with God. And we can walk with God any day of the day, any moment of the day, any time. And to walk with God means to abide with Him, to stay glued to Him, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So whenever you feel like, well, Lord, I don't feel like you're there, just ask the question, who moved? See, we have an opportunity every day, every moment, to walk with Him, to obey Him, to trust Him. Not striving against Him. Do you know sometimes we tend to get into situations, we start thinking about things, and there is a fear or flight part of our flesh. We want to protect, we want to run, or we want to fight, right? What is that? That's our panic button. That's our panic button. But instead of panicking, what can we do? Come on. We pray. Stop. Or ask for someone to help me pray. Instead of the panic thing, right? Romans 8:28. In fact, turn again over. I want you to look at Romans 8:28. This is the hope we have. In the Lord, of course. And we know that how much is the thing? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called, whom He called, and those these He also justified, and whom He justified, these He also glorified. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is saving Noah from a flood, from a terrible wrath of God. If you believe, you're not under wrath. You know that? I want to first make sure you believe. Trust Him. Believe He died for you. You confess with Him. You repent. Change your mind. God, I'm sorry. You believe He died for you and He resurrected. He's alive. Jesus is real. And you are saved by grace. Through faith. as Abraham. God is not going to allow you to go through his wrath. People think, well, what's going to happen in this mess? God says, no, you are going to be taken care of, just as Noah taken care of and his family. Right? It's understand, as we understand Abraham, as he went to God and saw, and God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham spoke to the Lord about his nephew Lot. He said, when you destroy, you won't destroy the righteous with the unrighteous. No. Lot was in you. You will. If God comes and says, if you've had enough, we will be renewed. God is going to clean up the mess. Now, if you don't feel like you're in a mess, this probably isn't a message for you. But you're in a mess. So how do we survive this mess? Because again, we understand the Lord comes back to judge, right, and take us out of here. We are already judged by Christ's death on the cross. He took that judgment for us. But listen to me, as long as you are a Christian, a believer, as long as you're part of the church, you are the light in this world. We're still in this world. And you need to be a light. We need to be shining out here in this dark mess. Because you are what's right now preventing the Lord from destroying this place. Because there's still time. This is why I'm praying. God, please do an incredible work, a miracle of revival. Lord, melt hearts. So you can be praying for people that you know. Melting hearts. And don't get caught up in the mess. And as you are out there in your workplace or at home or wherever, as you are a light in this world, remember this. It's not your job to convert people, but to be a light. Let the Lord do the rest of the work. And see, when you look at Noah, what was Noah's success rate? We don't know really specifically how long it took him to build the ark. But we know he was a witness to other people, as we will see. How many people was he successful in bringing to the Lord? Yet he was what? Trust me, that's being a light. That's what I'm encouraging you to get in that. And you can't be. You are an influence. You are an effective light in the world right now. Don't ever forget that. Don't get discouraged. The discouragement we know comes from the enemy. Just keep this in mind. I'm going to close with this. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Keep our eyes focused on the Lord. Let's keep going forward. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We need you, Lord. I love that song, Lord, that we sing sometimes. Lord, I come, I confess, thou in here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. As we're praying, if anybody else mentioned, please.